Cashmere shawl closer around her shoulders. She had lost some weight in recent years and felt the cold more keenly. Her devoted lady's maid, Jenkins, kept trying to feed her up, complaining that Queenie would soon look like a skeleton if she didn't fatten up a bit. She stood up and walked to the window, then hesitated. A sudden sharp fear came of what might appear behind it. She scolded herself for her silliness and yanked the curtain open. She saw only the night look back at her, blank and black. The vague shapes of trees moved mysteriously at the edge of the lawns. She did not look at the family graveyard, instead turning briskly and returning to her desk. Today, the doctor had advised Queenie to gather your family around you. The others were here, her grandson Cyril and Ralph's wife, Benjamina, neither caring much whether Ralph made it through the night or not. Indeed, Queenie suspected they positively hoped he wouldn't, so they could move on to the next stages of their lives. But there was family not present that ought to be. Thus she had sat down to pen this letter to the one person who was absent, who was over the sea, in a foreign city for nigh on 20 years now, her granddaughter Margaret. She pictured her now, her youth having left her, approaching middle age. Had the years been kind to her, Queenie wondered, or would she have aged badly? Margaret's relative poverty, as a teacher of English and pianoforte, would not afford her the king lifestyle, that was certain. Perhaps it would be a blessing to her to return home now, at last, after all these years. Perhaps she would welcome it. After all, she had struggled through as a widow and a lone mother to a daughter. Or perhaps she still considered her loss of riches a small price to pay to be free of the king family. Then Queenie's thoughts coalesced around another, the girl, her great-granddaughter Beatrice. Queenie had never met her. Would the girl favour her pale, yellow-haired mother or her dark, gypsy-eyed father? Queenie would soon find out if the answer to this letter were in the affirmative. She set to finish it, dipping her pen in the black ink and looping it across the page in her neat hand. As she wrote the words, "Your father is close to death," she felt that chill again, and hurriedly glanced at the strip of window open to the dark night. There was a flicker of something there. Or was there? Just a spatter of rain? She stood once more and marched to the window, jerking the curtain over to shut out the night. But as she did it, she knew that it was never that simple to shut out memories or guilt. Queenie imagined the spirit she had conjured gliding down from her window and taking its customary place beside Queenie's long-dead husband's grave, standing beside it, looking up at the house, watching and waiting in the cold, dark night, scored by the rain that fell across the king's lawn and into the wild woodland beyond. Chapter 1. The coach trundled on, the horses struggling up a steep incline, their hooves slipping. Beatrice grasped her mother's hand again and squeezed. Her mother was still snoozing and stirred at her touch, then fell back into her stupor. "Mama always looks tired these days," thought Beatrice. It was good that they were returning to her mother's family after all these years. Good that her mother would get some rest, be waited on in the big house and pampered a little. If they were welcome, that was. Beatrice glanced at the other passengers opposite them in the coach, two women and a man, all in various states of restless slumber, jogged by the coach's swaying rhythm. But she could not sleep. She had never travelled far from home in Montmartre, and never met her English family, so this journey was filled with excitement and tinged with fear. The coach to the port, the ship across the channel, the sea voyage made her so sick, she told her mother she was dying. But they got through it. And then came the long ride northwest. Nights were spent in coaching inns, fending off the lascivious looks and comments of Englishmen. She was 18 years of age, and she was lovely to look upon.